Victor Davis Hanson is the very notable historian, author. He's written so many books, I can't even mention them all, I'd be out of time. An Autumn of War, Between War and Peace, The War of the Ancient Greeks, Why the West Was Won, Carnage and Culture. Mexifornia is one. You ever want to know what's really going on in the immigration issue and kind of where we're going demographically, check that out. Just some terrific books, and writes columns for National Review Online on a regular basis. Most provocative one in a long time this week. As he seems to be helping Barack Obama, and I thought, well, what's happened to good old Victor? Let's find out. Victor Davis Hanson joins us. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So are you helping Obama or just trying to tell all the rest of us that we know what's up, don't even try this?
I'm trying to tell everybody that the most liberal candidate in recent political history is trying to win an election with an ideology of large taxes, large government, deference to the UN and foreign policy, a radical path that would nullify any other candidacy, is trying to be elected, and there's a way to do it, and he's got a brilliant team, so I just outlined 9 or 10 things I had to do to get by us. I was trying to warn the electorate.
Well, I'm hoping that this is going to work, because it seems he can do no wrong. They talked about Reagan with a Teflon suit, and it's pretty clear that Obama can... Well, we know he can blow his nose in front of people. He did that in Dallas in April and got a round of applause. I mean, it sounds like I'm making it up, but it happened.
Well, I mean, he said he was against FISA. He's not. He said he was against NAFTA. He said that was now overblown campaign rhetoric. He said he talked to Iran and it wasn't really a threat. That's inoperative. He said that Jerusalem was the internal capital of Israel. That's not true. Changed his view on the death penalty, a rape case, changed his view about gun control, and they're all predictable. They're all going from hard left to left center, and then he built his career on these dreams of his father,
mm-hmm.
that this bumper sticker identity with this exotic African father, whom he never saw, who committed a lot of drunk driving, finally killed himself in an automobile accident after abandoning his kids, and suddenly, after denigrating his grandmother, really telling the national audience she was racist, now suddenly that's an operative, and we got to thank dreams for my grandmother. And as far as we don't know what his energy policy is, he just seems to say solar, wind, nobody's got a problem with that, and green energy, so what? What's wrong with that? But
so that's what you say is resorting to sorta. It's kind of like he can bob and weave, and I know it was in one of his books, I think it's an Audacity of Hope, where he talks about sort of being a screen onto which Americans can project what they need, right?
But if I were to ask you today, and I got some letters from people involved in this campaign when I wrote that article, and did you know that he's for nuclear, sort of? I didn't. Did you know he's sort of for clean coal? I didn't. But he's sort of not as well. And then as far as hope and change, remember that one, that any time that he gets off the teleprompter and he's in an impromptu, extemporary situation, he sort of is deer in the headlights. He says there's 58 states, there's 48 states.
Yep.
The Americans liberated Auschwitz. The Kennedy-Khrushchev summit was a model of success. He really doesn't. Arkansas is next to Kentucky. He really
now, you're not saying that he's the only one who does that. I mean, people
get
fatigued on the campaign trail.
That he's billed himself as a Harvard Law School graduate, who's an Ivy Leaguer and is way ahead of anybody on the right as far as their knowledge and quick and analytical skills. And yet when he gets into a one-on-one, he knows that he doesn't have the breadth of geographical history, historical and cultural experience. So they're not going to let him get into a town hall setting or one-on-one interview with a neutral commentator.
Well, McCain, that's why Senator McCain has come out and said, let's do 10 town hall meetings, and I think Obama said one would be fine, but that'll be very controlled.
That's after he said anytime, anywhere, remember.
Yeah.
And also, we're not going to get any Michelle, as I said in the column, Phil Donahue, walk into the crowd, let me tell you what, somebody who's sort of a hard left person in the Ivy League in Chicago politics thinks about America or thinks about you. Instead, we're going to get a tightly scripted, don't get off the message speech. We're never going to hear. We've got people right now in the Obama campaign that are telling Wright, Flager, Redsko, Ayers, shut up, don't say a word, keep them on ice.
Aren't they keeping Michelle Obama on ice, too? Because since her
absolutely.
View appearance, she's been off the chart here. She's just been away somewhere.
They're going to put her on a script. She can't, unless she's got a friendly audience, one-on-one. Even that's dangerous because you can't take somebody who started out her career writing a thesis about racist America and why blacks should only hang out with blacks, go to a church who made fun of black middle-classness, bumpies they called it, and then go into Chicago politics, and then suddenly, in a space of 6 months, almost stop that Pavlovian response. So she can't do it, so she's got to just stick to the message. The other day she gave a very rare interview to USA Today, and what did she say? They had her all coached, and the first thing she said is, government doesn't do enough. People have had enough. This is a government that 70% of the budget's in entitlement. So she's got to completely get out of that milieu and just stick to a set speech. And then you're going to have to, if you're Obama and you've raised the largest amount of public cash and the majority of your donors are very wealthy people, and then you've got to say that you're for campaign finance reform. You want to get politics out of Washington as you take private money. And that's what he's done.
Victor Davis Hanson with us here on San Diego 1700, all over the West Coast. His column, which is up on his website, by the way, at victorhanson.com. Look for the one that's titled Dreams from His Grandmother, 10 General Election Strategies Obama Can Use to Disguise His Hard Left Views. And we're working through the list here. What about playing the victim? I find this very interesting. It's such a disconnect because all this hope and change and victimization doesn't seem like it ought to be part of the message, but it's certainly there.
Absolutely. He said he wanted to transcend race, that he was going to be the first transracial candidate. Suddenly he's polling 90 to 95% of the black vote. We think Reverend Wright really hurt him. It may have, but in the black community and overseas, it was the best thing that ever happened to him. It solidified that tribal support, if I could use that term, sectarian support. And one of the ways he does it, he says, I'm not going to talk about race, but you know what? They're going to bring up my middle name. They're going to bring up my race. Every once in a while, you're supposed to feel sorry that there's all these racists in the Republican attack machine. Notice that he said in an interview that people overseas sort of want to identify with the exotic nature of his name. And then, of course, if you were to say that here in the United States, that would be illiberal. And then, of course, he's always talking about the Republican attack machine, the 527s, but the only 527s we've seen are MoveOn.org attacking McCain. So what he's done is, I don't know if he understands U.S. foreign policy in the early 2000s, but he is a preemptionist. He is running a preventive campaign, so everything that he wants to do, and he accuses McCain of doing, he's already preempted him. So what the result of all that is, a playing field has had the sidelines and the goalposts cut, and we're right out in the middle. And if you dare stray into any of these areas and talk about campaigns or Reverend Wright or his use of race or his use of private campaign money or his radical left ideology, you, not he, will seem illiberal and unfair and insensitive.
It's an amazing inoculation that he's been working toward and making happen on so many levels. Again, we're talking to Victor Davis Hanson about this, about Obama and how he's, I think, very skillfully trying to mask his voting record, for example. You just think, why don't people just go look at the record, see what he has done in the Senate in the couple of years that he's been there and what he did in Illinois before?
Ask the ACLU, the ADA, the National Interest, they've all have various methods of assessing senators, and he's by far the most liberal. But the success of this is, I was talking to an Obama supporter the other day, and I said, you realize that if a couple is in the Bay Area of California, they have a housing payments, they've got kids in school, college, that he's going to increase their taxes to such an extent that if they make $250, they may end up paying 65% state, local, and federal taxes. Mm-hmm. No, he wouldn't do that. I said, do you realize that he's not going to drill off the coast, not off the continental shelf, not in Anwar, he's not going to develop nuclear power, he's probably against clean coal, no tar sands, no shale, and we're going to wait until, I guess we're going to put a sail on our cars and have wind and solar transportation. No, he wouldn't do that. I said, yes, he is going to do that. You want me to read some of the things his advisors have said about Israel, about Iran, about the Middle East, about getting out of Afghanistan? Well, he was always against the war. I said, no, he wasn't. In 2005, he said there was no fundamental difference between his position and George Bush's. So people just don't believe that because they want to do the right thing, and the right thing in their mind right now is we've come to a crossroads in America where we have a multiracial candidate.
Yep.
We feel that he gives us a sense of redemption about our past. He makes us popular overseas, and people empirically and logically know there's a problem, that they've never voted for someone with just 3 years in the U.S. Senate, and they can start to see that inexperience every time he's on the campaign. But they also understand that he's charismatic, he's a brilliant set speaker, he enthuses people. And
a lot of people are looking for just something else, so the facts be damned. I mean, it's a matter of sit back and say, well, let's try this. What does it matter? Let's give it a shot, and that's dangerous.
And it's not just George Bush 8 years. It's George Bush and George Bush Sr. 12 and Bill and Hillary Clinton 8.
Yep.
And you get 20 years of that, and people are saying enough is enough. And unfortunately, McCain is closer to being a Republican, closer to the incumbent than Obama is, and he's older. He's much more experience in the Senate, and he's identified with something that people don't want. So gas prices, mortgage crisis, wow, weak dollar, war in Iraq, war in Afghanistan, all of that sort of coalesces until let's get somebody who will get us out of this problem. And the problem is that the American people don't realize how we got in, that the energy crisis, we were building these enormous SUVs in the 1990s. The World Trade Center in 1993, that was a sign that radical Islam had been appeased and was on the move. They don't understand that the dollar is a manifestation of enormous debt to China and India, Europe, Korea, Japan, that this is a long-standing problem. George Bush is faulted to the degree that he has not been able to articulate what the problem is or what's the long-term solution, or he didn't act radically enough to do something in the early 2000s, but he's just one in a line of presidents that either cannot or have not addressed the issues. But
well, read all about this. Keep an eye on all these things, and you don't want to miss Victor Davis Hanson's article about the strategies Obama is using to try to mask the left-wing radicalism. It's all right there, victorhanson.com. Appreciate you checking in. Thanks much.
Thank you.